Samach Beis, Amid Beis, 124, 17 lines from the end of the page. The last thing the Gemara was discussing about Davar Shalei Bala Eilam, something that doesn't exist yet in the world. If you can sell it, you can't sell it. Can you give it? Can you not give it? About giving Truma, you know, that whole Gemara from before. Because in the Mishnah was discussing if somebody does Kedusha with a woman, after you give birth, or after you convert, or after you do, you know, all those things. Because now the Gemara says like this, Kaman, also Hoda Tanya, which opinion does this price have said? Hey, Melechaveda, somebody says to his friend, Im yod ishtchen nekevim ukudeshesli. A guy comes over to his friend, whose wife is pregnant, well, we don't know yet. A guy comes over to his friend and he says, you know, if your wife ever gives birth to a girl, she's mukadeshes to me. Le'amer klum, it's worthless. Because, you know, there's no kid yet. But, Amer Rabchanina says, le'ishanu ala she'in ishtimu beres. That's only if the guy's wife is not pregnant. But ishtimu beres, but if his wife is pregnant, dvarav kayamim, if she gives birth to a girl, the kedushin is valid. Now, remember we were learning before, if the food is, the crop, the tefuah is ripe, not ripe, a little bit ripe, a lot ripe, okay. So there's two opinions. Rabbi said it has to be more ripe, but if Yosef says even if it's less ripe, it's considered being in the world. So the question over here is like this. If the woman's not pregnant yet, the baby's for sure not existing. If she's pregnant, the kid's a little bit... little bit in the world. But whatever it is, yeah, but I'm saying, if it's a girl, because obviously otherwise there's no kedushin, if it's a girl that the kedushin will be valid, but Hanina says if she's pregnant. Now, the Gemara says, Kaman, which opinions that go according to? So the Gemara says, Kerabba means Kshuhukar Ubra, when it's noticeable, meaning after 3 months when the pregnancy is noticeable. Because Rabbi said before, by the grain, it has to be edible like a third, you know, that you can, so it's noticeable already. Rav Yosef said, even if it's not noticeable, as long as it's existing, exactly, it's also considered in the world. So the Gemara says again, how far along pregnant does she have to be? So it says, Rabbi, if you go like Rabbi's opinion, Kshuhuka Ubra, when the woman is... already, you could sell it, meaning 3 months, which are according to halacha. Or if you hold like Rav Yosef, even if she was pregnant, but it was before 3 months, no, according to Rav Yosef, it would still be a good kedusha, because she's still in the world enough. Just like the grain, once it grows a little bit, it's considered existing in the world. Now, the Gemara says, Ikadamri does another the way of learning the argument between Rabbi and Rav Yosef before. That Lo Yamir Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, when did Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say that you can acquire it, even though it's not in the world yet, or about Truma, that's only B'Shachas Debei Kivsha. When stuff is in the fodder stage, meaning food for animals, in a way that exists on rainwater. In other words, it's a field that you don't need to water. There's enough rain that it grows automatically by itself. But if it's animal food, that grows by irrigation, the law doesn't apply. Why? Because if you don't irrigate it, the crops are not going to exist. So you need an action of a person to make it grow. That's called not in the world, according to Rabbah. If it's going to for sure happen, because not to something out of the ordinary drought. But I'm saying it's a field that normally there's enough rain, and it grows with rain.
Rain is acceptable, irrigation is not acceptable.
Yeah, because irrigation, what happens, like it says.
Rain also is, you don't know when is rain coming. It's more difficult. Irrigation, you know the water it has. Why not?
What happens if the person doesn't water them? So they'll never come to proper height. See, when it's for sure going to rain, that means you don't have to do anything.
Why is no use going to rain? What's the guarantee is rain?
Well, to begin in a place where it rains. where there's enough rain.
In Seattle,
where it's going to rain. Or London. So Rabbi says, it has to be done in a way that it's for sure going to happen. But if it's not for sure going to happen, it's not called existing yet. And Rav Yosef says, no, afilu b'shach de'shaki, even if it's an irrigated field, even if you have to water it, the fact is, once it grows a little bit, it's already considered enough in the world that you can give truma it, you can sell it to whatever. So that was this version. So Gemara says, k'man oz l'hodetanya. So again, it's repeating itself. So who does it go, this price that we learned? Ha'em l'chaved, if somebody says to his friend, im yol di ishtach and nekev imekudashesli. If a guy says to his friend, you know, if you, when your wife gives birth to a girl, she'll become mekudashes to me, le'amer klum, it's worthless, because she's not pregnant yet. Rabchanina said, le'shanu al k'shein ishtim u'beres. That's only when she's not pregnant. Avel ishtim u'beres, but when the wife is pregnant, Dvar of Kayamim, then it is a good. So which opinion does this go like? So the Gemara says, it goes Kshahukar Ubra, when the woman is noticeably pregnant, 3 months, and it goes according to both opinions. Because even Rav Yosef, in this case, agrees that it has to be something that's going to happen at least.
If you say that you don't know the boys and girls, if you know the bro pregnant, so if you say boy, you're going girl, still.
Yeah, even if she's pregnant, there's a chance it's another girl.
Yeah, but that's what he's saying. If your wife gives birth to a girl,
if.
Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Rab Elazar ben Yaakov, Rebbe, Rab Meir, these three people, Kula Sviru Luhu, all of these three opinions hold, Makna Dava Shalei Bola Ilim. You can sell something or convey, give over something even if it's not existing in the world yet. Okay?
Like Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu. He said, I give Maisa to you, but that's before Torah.
That was before Torah, and again, we're going to see that later in the Gemara, by the way. He didn't say, that money is tzedakah. He said, I will give tzedakah. And he is existing. We're going to see that soon in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to bring that, not about Yaakov, but a different case, about a lady speaking about something. So, the bottom line is, these opinions hold, even if it's not existing in the world yet, you could sell it. You can give it. You can separate truma and so on. Okay? Now, tomorrow is going to be not a different case of the mayor, but there's a famous case in Baba Metzia that the Gemara discusses if there's a tree without fruits on it. Okay? There's a tree without fruits. Can I sell you the fruits of the tree that will grow? So, Chum say for sure not. The mayor says you could. But the Gemara then says, why? Because Rav Meir holds, you can sell something that's not in the world yet. But the Gemara over there explains it, that though is only by a fruit tree where the fruits will probably come. Because no, most of the time the tree produces fruit. But if I say, let's say a tree is not even growing yet, I'm planting a tree, the tree is not even planted yet. And I'm going to tell you, the fruits that this tree will produce, and the tree's not even planted yet, even Rav Meir would hold it's no good.
Don't we sell the land before Yovel according to how many years of crops?
That's a rental. No.
According to crop years, but you don't know how much.
No, that's the land. I'm selling you the land. We're not selling the...
But you said based on the value of the crop years.
That land is valued based on what it will produce. But you're not selling the land for, you're not telling what's
so
not produced yet.
So if the tree is an orchard, orchard is known to give fruit every year. Unless it's a single tree somewhere.
How do they estimate the value of real estate? How do you estimate the value? Like in a commercial building, right? How much income you're going to have? That's what it's based on, the sale price.
Cap, they sell cap.
But even if it's not rented to anybody, I can still sell you a building. The building is here. The price is dependent how much income we think it's going to be. But I'm selling you the price now. It's not something that's not existing yet. I'm selling it. The building exists. If the building doesn't exist, okay, this will be another issue. Let's say a building doesn't exist yet.
It's only land.
And I'm selling you the building that will be eventually built. That's the shaila. Can you sell something that doesn't exist in the world? Now, obviously, if everybody agrees later and there's no problems, yeah, of course you could do it. Because nobody's fighting. What happens if one of them back out? Right? Can they or can't they back out? If you hold, you can't acquire something to somebody that's not existing in the world, then yeah, then of course you can back out. You're not acquired yet. Okay, and he says it's like this. So these three people hold you can sell something that's not in the world, okay, or acquire something, whatever. So Gemara says like this. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where do we see Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it? Hod amar, and what we just said. Because he said, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, you can give truma for grain that didn't even grow a third yet. That means not even good for animal food. You can still sell it. Rabbi, where do we see Rabbi? Rabbi Yudah Nasi holds that you can sell something that doesn't exist in the world. Because the pasuk says like this. They saskir el eved el adainav. It says in the pasuk, you should not deliver a slave back to his master if he escapes to you from his master. Okay? Now, the simple meaning of that pasuk in Dvarim is as follows. A guy frees an eved. This is the simple meaning of the pasuk. A guy frees an eved, and the eved runs away and comes to you. So the din is you cannot give him back to the master. Because he's free. You cannot give an eved back to the master if he's free. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Okay? So now the Gemara says like this. Rabbi says, what does this pasuk mean? The problem with the pasuk is like this. The Torah says, you cannot return a slave back to its master.
If the period is gone.
And if he freed him.
Yeah.
Right? So now the question is, so why is he called a slave?
Yeah. He's not a slave, yeah.
So the pasuk says a very funny expression. The Torah says, you cannot return a slave back to the master if he was freed. So the question is, if he's freed, he's not a slave. So why is the Torah calling him a slave? So obviously, he's still a slave. So if he's slave and runs away, why shouldn't you return him? He belongs to the master. Why should you help him run away? Right? So Rabbi learns, the pasuk is speaking in a very unique case. Rabbi says he's speaking, but a keich eved, a guy buys a slave, amenas l'shachre akosim medaber. I think Mar's going to explain, hey, chidam, what's the case? Rabbi says he's speaking, the guy bought the slave with the intent of freeing him. That's why he bought him. So Gemara says, "Hey, chidam, like, what's this case?" Amen. Rav Nachum Bayisrael said, "Kegain the cost of lay the purchaser, the master, in other words, writes in the shtar the sha'ekocha as soon as I buy you, hari atzmecha koni loch mi achshav, you are free from now."
After that, they get free.
He's not free yet, but he's
still. So what's Rabbi Yudah Nasi saying? When I buy you, you will be free now. Now, did he buy him?
No.
Not yet. Is he existing in the world? Yes. No, because he didn't buy him yet.
He's not.
One second. If you own a book,
yeah.
Okay, and you're planning to sell it to him,
uh-huh.
Okay, and I say to you, sell me the book that he's selling you. Before he sold it, can you sell it?
No, it's not his hand.
You can't sell it. Why not? Because it's not here yet. The book is here, but
it's not your hand.
For you, it's not here, right? Now, the Eved in the world of the master is not here yet. Correct? Because he didn't buy him yet. Yet he writes, "When I buy you, I'll free you." from now. So how could he, that means he had to acquire him as a slave to free him. But he didn't acquire him yet. So so how could he free an Eved that he didn't buy it?
Why does he have to say from now?
Huh?
When I buy you, you're free.
No. Because he's writing, he's freeing the slave now, even though he didn't even buy him yet.
He cannot do that.
No, Rabbi holds he couldn't. That's what the Pasuk says. So the Pasuk says, such an Eved who ran away from his master... The din is you cannot bring him back to the master because he's a free guy. How could it be free? How could Rebbe hold you can free him before you bought him? So you see, Rebbe holds you can acquire something that's not in the world yet. That's what you see Rebbe holds. So that's Rebbe's opinion. So Rebbe also holds you don't need to have something existing in the world yet. Okay?
So
then he says also, Rav Meir, where do we see Rav Meir's din? That you can acquire something that's not in the world yet. So Rav Meir, the Tanya, because it says in the, Rav Meir says in the Braisa like this, Ha'em Eli Isha, the same similar case we had in the Mishnah. A guy says to a woman, Harei Amekudeshesli, you will become Mekudeshes to me, La'achashe is Gai, after I become a Jew. Now the guy's not Jewish yet. Or he says, La'achashe is Gai, after you become a Jew. Or he says to a woman who's a slave, and he says, he's still a slave. He says, La'acha she'esh tacheret, after I become freed. Or he says to the woman, La'acha she'esh tacheret, after you become free. Or he says, La'acha she'yom is ba'alach, after your husband will die. He comes over to a married woman. Okay? Let's say the husband's dying. Not dead, he's dying. And he says to the girl, you know, after your husband dies, he gives her a ring now. He says, "I'm gadashesli." After your husband dies, so what's the case? Or after your sister will die, because you know you can't marry two sisters, right, while they're alive? Or after you get chalitza? In all these cases, ain't a gadashes. It's not a good kedushin. Why? Because she's not here yet. She's either a married woman. She's not Jewish. She's a slave. No. But Rameir Amen, gadashes. But a man says the Kedushin is valid. The woman's not in the world yet. Because that mayor holds, you could be kain of something that's not in the world yet. So even though the woman, again, in the world of Kedushin doesn't exist, because either she's married, or she's has a sister, or shiksa, whatever it is, or he's a shiksa, or a slave, or whatever, that mayor holds it's a Mekudesh. Obviously, if she goes through the conversion, or after the husband dies, it's you know whatever it is.
Depends on so many factors.
It's still a good kedushin if it happens. If the factors are met, the kedushin is valid.
No,
the halacha is not like Rumeir.
But this is as usual general. Everything you can say after the match the condition in
conditions. These are not conditions. These are not conditions. He's not saying on the condition you convert, on the condition your sister dies, on the condition. He's not saying the word on condition.
When.
He says, Arei at mekudeshesli after you convert. After I convert. After your husband dies. Not on the condition. That's a whole different story. It's not a condition over here. The kedushin is becoming valid afterwards. But the kedushin is valid now. Right? But it can happen now. In other words, after she converts, or after the husband dies, she can't say, I changed my mind. She can't say, I changed my mind. Because the Kedushin is valid already. If a woman accepts Kedushin, and after she accepts Kedushin, she says, I forget, I changed my mind. She needs a get. Right?
Last week you learned a married woman cannot do that.
That's the Chacholim's opinion. But Rav Meir says, Mukadashes, it is good. Because Rav Meir holds, even though she's not in the world yet of Kedushin, it's a valid Kedushin.
Interesting.
Now, the similar argument we have, Rabbi Yechanan a sandler, Rabbi Yechanan is a shoemaker. He said, Eina Mukadashes, Rabbi Yudanasi, Eina Mukadashes. Minatoy Mukadashes. But, Matam Omru Eina Mukadashes. But Rabbi says, but why did a Chacham say it's not a good? Really, it should be a good Kedushin. Why not? Mishum Eva, because everybody's going to hate each other. Hmm. In other words, like this. If a guy says to a woman, you know, when your husband dies, you'll become my wife. Trust me, the husband and wife are not going to get along anymore. Or he says to her, when your sister dies, then you're going to be Mukadash. The guy's married to her sister. And he says to the wife's sister, when my wife dies, your sister dies, then... So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, really, it's a good Kedushin. But the Chachamim said it's not.
She doesn't have to marry him because she doesn't have to.
Oh yeah, if she accepted it then, the Kedushin is valid when the sister dies. Right.
But let me ask you a question. When the kid's not born and the parents say, sure, you can marry my daughter if I have a daughter, and then 15, 20 years later, this girl gets born, 15, 20 years later, she doesn't want to marry this guy, but she has to get it, right?
We're talking, though, when the guy actually did Kedushin with the father. The father is accepting the Kedushin. If two guys are talking, you know what, I have a son, you have a daughter, they're going to get married one day. That's worthless. You didn't do any Kedushin. We're speaking here, the guy actually did an act of Kedushin. Yeah. He gave her a pruta, and he says, hey, I'm a Kedushin, after your sister dies, after your husband dies, or whatever. So Rebbe says, in these two cases, by the way, not after I convert or you convert, that Rebbe would say it's a good Kedushin. In the case of the husband or the sister, where it's going to cause fights, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, it's not a valid Kedushin, but the Chachamim uprooted the Kedushin. And there is a concept, by the way, in Halacha, the Chachamim, Akir Rabban and Kedushim in Eid, Rabbi Chachamim could uproot the Kedushin. You have cases when biblically it's a valid Kedushin, and the Chachamim say, no, it's not. And that's the reason, by the way, it's brought down in Halacha. Why? Because the Gemara says a rule, it's a very important rule in Kedushin. Kol ha-mekadesh, adaited Rabban and Mekadesh. Anytime a guy does Kedushin, he does it with the intent of the Chachamim. That means the Chacham wanted is good. In fact, when you say to a woman today under the chuppah, what do you say? Areat Mukadeshusli, the Tabazel, Kedas Moshe Yisrael. Why do you say Kedas Moshe Yisrael? Areat Mukadeshusli, the Tabazel. Finished. Why do we add? It says, why do we say clearly Kedas Moshe Yisrael? Because we're saying this is according to the law of Moshe and Yisrael, which means if the Chacham say we don't want it, it's not going to be valid.
Supersedes the biblical.
Yeah. In fact, the Gemara, it's a very interesting question. The Gemara asks, the Rishonim ask, how could they do it? You have also, we discussed this case in the past. Chametz Erev Pesach. Yeah? After midday, cannot benefit from it. Right? Before midday, you could. And Pesach. I'm Pesach. The guy gives a woman a loaf of bread. Chometz. And he says, Areat Mukadeshusli, but Chometz Zu, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. The din is, it's not a good Kedushin. Why? Bread you cannot benefit from. It's Osibano. Osibano means it's not yours. Osibano means, benefit means ownership. If you can't benefit from it, there's no ownership. So therefore the halacha is, if a guy gives a woman a loaf of bread on Pesach, or after midday out of Pesach, 12 o'clock, yeah? The Kedushin is invalid. Then the Gemara says a statement like this. We know the Chachamim said like this, Min HaTorah, 12 o'clock, Chometz is finished. We're making it an hour early, 11 o'clock. Rabbinically, the Chachamim say you can't benefit anymore from Chometz. Min HaTorah, you can go until 12. Chometz say after 11 you can't. So the Gemara says, what happens at 11:30? A guy comes over to a woman with a loaf of bread and says, "Hey, I'm mukadeshusli b'tabazu kedas meshe v'yisrael. You are mukadeshus to me." The Gemara says it's not a valid kedushin. Why? Because Rabbanan, it's. So the Gemara asks, 1 minute. Biblically, you could still benefit. Biblically, it's a good kedushin. How could the Chometz say it's not? Biblically, he gave her something, and it's a good kedusha. She's an ashes from the Torah, and the Chacham would come along and say, "No, it's not a valid kedusha." How could that be? So the Gemara answers, because whoever does Kedushin does it with the intent of the Chachamim, and the Chachamim said no. But the Rishonim, what power did the Chachamim have to do that? So some Rishonim answered a very interesting answer. Bezdin was called Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Bezdin, when they see fit, can come to you and say your property doesn't belong to you. They have that power.
Just like by Kilayim, people wouldn't... Really
yeah, right. Exactly, very good. The Bezdin would make Hefker the field or whatever. Or they would burn the clothing of the guy sleeping, watching the Beis Hamikdash, they would burn his clothing. So they should... How? Hefker Bezdin. There's a rule in the Gemara. Hefker Bezdin, Hefker. Meaning, when Bezdin sees fit, they can make your property not yours. So the Rishonim write like this. 11:30, the Chum say, you know what? It's not your bread. It's not yours anymore. Either the Torah says, you can do Kedusha with it, it's yours, you can benefit. The Chum have the ability to say, no, it's not. So after 11 o'clock, basically what the Chum did over across the board, any chametz you own is Hefker, it's not yours. And therefore, when you give the woman the bread, you never gave her anything. It's not yours. You have to give her something that belongs to you. It's not yours. And they have a right to make it not yours. So therefore, they can uproot the Kedushin. Right? The same thing, in this case of hatred, the Chum have the ability to say, you know what? Like Rabbi says, really, Minatayra, it's a valid Kedushin. She's not in the world yet. Doesn't matter. She doesn't have to be in the world. But the Chum said, we're uprooting, but in the case of a sister, in the case of a husband, we don't want fights. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Nachshiv Nami Reb Yehuda Hanasi. Who said this? Abaye said that Elazar ben Yaakov, Rebbe and Reb Meir hold you can sell something that's not in the world. Now we have another opinion, Reb Yehuda Hanasi. So the Gemara answers, I know Rebbe, I know Reb Yehuda Hanasi, it's the same guy. Rebbe is Reb Yehuda Hanasi. Reb Yehuda Hanasi is Rebbe. So therefore when he says Rebbe, Taka means Reb Yehuda Hanasi also. So now the Gemara asks, I'll show you other people that also say this din. That you can sell something that's not in the world. It says like this, Menachshev Nami Rabbi Akiva, why don't we count Rabbi Akiva's din? The Tanya says in the Mishnah, Braisim, Keinim Shani Eise Lepicha. Okay, let me just explain this din. When a husband and wife get married, they share responsibilities. The husband has to bring in the
money,
the dinero, the geld.
She has to prepare.
And she has to sew for him, and they didn't have clothing stores. So she had to cook for him and bake for him and make his clothes and all the things that women would do. So now, what happens if a woman comes along and says, you know what? I swear to God I'm not doing it. Okay. Kind of means she makes a... Kaina means, like, she makes a vow that she's not doing it. Okay? Kainim shani eisa lepicha. That my handiwork is not going to you. Okay? She's saying, she makes a vow, like a woman, person makes a nether. She makes a vow that my handiwork will not go to you. The din is, ein etzarech lahafir. The husband doesn't even have to undo the vow. There's a din of Chumash in Parshas Matris, right? If a woman makes a vow, the day the husband hears it, he can nullify the vow. This vow, you don't even have to nullify. It's not a vow to begin with. Rabbi Kiva says he does have to. Why? Shemetadiv olav yesim in aroyli, because she might make more than she's obligated to give him. Let's say she has to give him one suit, and she'll make two. But she's now making a vow that my handiwork is not going to go to you. So the Chachamim hold, 1 minute, she doesn't have to nullify the vow, right? Why not? Because it's like, huh?
She has to do it anyway. It's like when somebody makes a vow to put on tefillin or not to put on tefillin.
Well, it's similar to this, but it's a little bit different. You're right. He's already sworn. Here, the explanation is very simple. Rashi said, but it's his already. Because she's obligated to do it for him. It's like the woman coming over to the husband and say, I swear that you cannot benefit from your property. It's worthless. Right? She can't make a vow. I can't make a vow that you can't eat meat or eat whatever you want. How can I do it for you?
So biblically she's his property.
No. Because she has an obligation in the ksuba to make these things for the husband. So therefore it's considered the husband's property. So she has no right to say no. Right? There's one problem over here. She didn't do it yet. What are we saying? It's the husband's property.
I know. That's
it's the husband's property. But she didn't make it yet. And Rabbi Kiva says that she has to do nullification of the vow because in case she makes extra more than what she's obligated to give the husband, that's not his, that's hers. But the question is, it's not here yet. She didn't make it. She's making a vow, what I will make. So therefore, Shemetad of Olav Yasmin Aroi. So what do we see? So obviously that what she did didn't exist yet, and yet Rabbi Kiva holds, it belongs to the husband. So Gemara says, "O itma la no," but there's an answer to that, and this is what we said before. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, it's speaking. Yikotshu yodai la'isem. She's not saying, and this is like we said before. She's not saying what I make is going to you. She said what my hands make will go to you. So she's binding the hands, and the hands are here. That's what he says. But Eret Yikachu Yodele Isehem, let my hand become consecrated, okay, to the Creator, meaning to Hashem. So therefore, Yadayim Isinu Ba'ilam.
So does he nullify it or doesn't nullify it?
No, because the extra doesn't go to the husband. And that's hers. So she has to nullify the vow. Yeah, I mean, the husband has to nullify the vow.
Same day.
And
if he gets dark?
He can't. The vow is a vow and he loses it.
Then she can go to a Chachami?
Yeah, to be Matanet, like anybody else. Okay, so far the Gemara is discussing, basically, can you do Kedushin or can you sell or can you give? Can you separate Truma for things that are not existing in the world yet? So according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi and Rameir, you could. According to the Chacham, everybody else, he can't.
What's the halacha?
You can't.
You can't?
No. No, because even in the Mishnah, all the way back, the Mishnah says, all those cases, ain't him a kodeshes. That's the halacha, and Ram, Shechnorach, whatever. The halacha is not like Rav Meir that you can sell something that's not in the world, you can't. That's why he said the whole future business, which in American law, selling futures, is not correct according to Torah. Now, because the secular law says it is, you know, a Jew that does business can't come along and say, oh, no, it was never sold. You know, I want my money back because the government, that's the law of the land.
So they cannot sell the future crop.
Right. It doesn't exist yet. If it doesn't exist, you can't sell it.
So we cannot buy stock future. No.
You could buy, because in the Geisha law you couldn't. That's the law of the land. But
in Israel, I would assume you probably could. Nowadays.
No. Why?
Like, for example,
I don't know. The secular. I mean, Israel also has secular laws.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm saying it's secular. I'm sure they have futures in Israel.
A contract of all the produce, like etro for next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I used to buy my father buy the crop in my country, future crop. They say they give money advance, and they, when they come in the season of crop, they go collecting the crop.
Yeah. Okay, next Mishnah. This is a simple Mishnah. Seemingly, we like these concepts we learned already. A man says to a woman, "Hareat mukadashesli amenasha daber alecha l'shulten." you know, you will become kedushas to me on the condition that I speak on your behalf to the king. Or I'll work with you like a day worker. So then the Mishnah says, Dibir alal shultan, if he spoke to the king about her, or Asi my kapel, or he worked for her like a day worker, Mekadeshes, the condition is valid because the condition is met. It's very simple. Vimlav ain't a Mekadeshes. I mean, basically, it's a very simple thing. A guy says to a woman, but what the Gemara is going to discuss is what makes this Mishnah important. It's a simple Mishnah. I have Mekadeshes on condition I speak to the king. You speak to the king, yeah, if not, not. Okay? Very simple. Amen. Shlokish. Vuhu shenasan lo shava pruta. It's only though. If he gave the woman an item worth a pruta besides the condition that he said. In other words, the way Rashi explains the Gemara is very simple. The case of our Mishnah is, a guy says to a woman, Harei at mekudeshesli, with this pruta, and the condition, I will speak to you to the king. And the Gemara is going to explain why it has to be like that. Without Reish Lakish, without this din of Reish Lakish, we would learn the Mishnah a little bit differently. What am I giving the woman? On the condition I speak to the king. So I would think, without Reish Lakish's din, I would think speaking to the king is valuable. So that is the money of the Kedushin, when I'm speaking to the king. Or when I work for you. So comes along and Reish Lakish says, nah. In order for this Kedushin to be valid, you need to give her a penny, a pruta now. And then you have the condition, and the condition must be met. But if you didn't give her a pruta, just with the money that's valued by me speaking to the king, or me working for you, whatever it is, Reish Lakish says it's not a good Kedushin.
It's not tangible.
Because it's, like, no,
contract,
the Gemara is going to explain.
Like contract, huh?
Yeah, but lochere, there's value here.
Yeah.
People would pay money to have somebody speak to the king, or a worker has.
In a case where she owed him money, is that a condition that I forgive?
We're going to see this in the Gemara now. One second. So the Gemara says, "Ubischar loy." Why not just for the payment for what he's doing? He's speaking to the king or his work. Why isn't that enough for the kedusha? But Tanya, we learned in the Braise that it should be good. If a man says to a woman, become a kedushas to me for the money that I'm giving you a donkey ride.
Or,
I'm giving you a seat in the wagon or in the boat. It's not a good kedushas. And then I was going to explain why. But if he says past tense, it's no good. Past tense is no good. What happens if he says, Bishad she'arkiveich alacham, that I will give you a donkey ride, that I will put you in the carriage or the wagon or the sfina, mukudashis. Okay? What do we see from here? That you could do kedushin with work that you will do for her. If the guy says, I will put you in the wagon, I will do, that means it's good. So why does Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, say it's no good? V'chitem, and if you're going to say, Hachanam is also speaking with the Yav Shava Pruta, we gave him money also. Maybe it's like Reish Lakish that he actually gave her money to. But it says no, because he says, Mikamu Kadeshis to me with the schad that I'm doing it. In other words, this Braisa says, if a man says to a woman, Areyat Mukadeshisli, with the schad that you're getting by me giving a donkey ride, a horse ride, or whatever it is. So the Mishnah says Mukadeshis. Right? Even though right now you didn't give her anything. So obviously it is a good kedusha. Why does the Reish Lakish say, if you don't give her actual money, it's not a good kedusha? The Eitanya, another bride that we see the same thing. If a guy says to a woman, shave me, sit with me as a companion. V'akadosh loch, and I will become a kadoshes to you with this. Tzchayk lefanai, she asks him, I mean, the first case is, the woman says to the man, you know, I need a companion, sit next to me, keep me company. And with that money, I will become a kadoshes to you. Or she says, make jokes in front of me, dance in front of me, I see kedimus as that, make like this edifice, whatever it is. Or, so what's the din? Shaman, we evaluate it. Im yesh bashava pruta, if there's a pruta in it, mukudashis. And if not, ain't a mukudashis. What do you see from here? That the kedushin is valid for what's going to be.
Also, the woman is stipulating. Usually a man has to say.
So it doesn't matter either way.
I'll become mukudashis to you, a woman says?
Yeah. No, but he says that mukudashis thing with it. Then he says that I'm a kadoshes to
you. Oh, it's like a consent.
Right.
Yeah, to say she's asked to say both, they say at the same time.
Right. And again, if you're going to say it speaking, that he gave her a pruta, this is not true because the Braisa says you evaluate if that hanoah is a pruta or not. Right? So Tiyufta the Reish Lakish is a question on Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish says you have to give her money. What the reward that you're going to do for her, like he says, that I'm going to speak to the king, is not good. So he says like this. He says, I'm going to talk, I have to spell this outside. There's a din of when I work for you. I don't know if we're going to finish this whole thing today. When I work for you, on a job, and you're going to pay me $100. When does the payment start?
From the time we start
when
to work.
When you get a paycheck.
Then it starts to work.
Let's say, for argument's sake, it takes 100 minutes to do the job. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I say I'm going to give you $100. Does that mean every minute is a dollar? Or at the end of the job, you pay
$100? At the end of the job, you pay $100.
Collected. Every time it's collected, it's not.
So this is two opinions in the Gemara. Is there schiras wages from beginning to end, or is the schiras only at the end?
Beginning.
Now look at this. Analyze it this way. If I say to you, for 100 minutes, you're going to get $100.
Yeah.
Now, if at the end I have to give you a lump sum, that's when it is, then it's not a debt. Right now, at the end, I give you $100. But if it's going from beginning to end, that means you work a minute, I owe you $1, I owe you $1, I owe you $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8. That means all it is now is a debt. The last second of work is not a pruta. And everything else up to there is a debt. And we learned before, the Gemara says you can't do Kedusha with a debt because the money is not here. It's a debt. So if you hold that the payment is at the end, so now he's giving her, when he dances for her, he goes speaks to the king, then he's giving it to her. But if you hold it goes from beginning to end, that means when he starts going to the king, it's a half a cent, half a cent, half a cent, half a cent. At the end, it's only a half a cent plus a debt. So the Kedusha wouldn't be valid. So the Shlokish is explaining that's the difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah holds that there's payment from beginning to the end. And therefore the Shlokish says you have to give her a pruta. Because otherwise you're not giving her anything. All the way at the last second of the work, it's not a pruta, and you never gave Kedushin a pruta. But the Braisa that says it's good, because they hold you, it's one lump sum at the end. If it's one lump sum at the end, then you gave $100. Okay, we'll leave it here.